May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 854. Jesus, Lord of life and peace, to thee we lift our voice. Teach us at thy holiness to tremble and rejoice. Sweet and terrible's thy word. Thou and thy word are both the same. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. 854.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God in the Gospel according to Mark, from chapter 8. We commence our reading at verse 10. And we read also from the first chapter, the second epistle to Timothy. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 8, verse 10. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them. And entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, and do ye not remember. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took he up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took he up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but of the things that be of men. When he had called the people unto him and his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let me turn to the first chapter, the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, Thermophy, Gellert, and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grants unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Almighty, most gracious Lord, do grant us help of God, all laid upon one that is mighty, for poor sinners, Lord, to bring to us those things which are from above, to magnify thy name and thy grace, and to meet us this evening around thy word. And Lord, we pray for thy mercy to be upon us. Do grant, O Lord, that deliverance. Lord, it's from sin and unworthiness and a dreadful plague of everything contrary to thy name, thy word, and thy truth that dwelleth in us. And we pray, Lord, for that repentance in hearing and speaking, and that grace of God to be made known, for he giveth more grace. May we know it this evening hour. We desire to thank thee, Lord, for the mercies of another day. We desire to bless thee, Lord, that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we cannot presume. We desire to thank thee, Lord, for that strength imparted and that help of God granted. We ever desire to bless thee, Lord, for thy many benefits. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou art pleased to gather a few poor sinners, that may Jesus be in the midst. Remember each case and each need. Grant we may be full of wants, but not left to our sin and unworthiness. And grant, O Lord, also that we may be sweetly lifted up. And grant, O Lord, that thou art to rise, and may we feel it in our hearts. May we know that exchange of our poverty for those riches by faith. And remember us, Lord, as we seek thy blessing upon this house of prayer, and that thou art to remember the church with those heavenly showers from heaven. We need them outwardly upon the earth. And how we pray, Lord, for that blessing of God upon the word of thy truth, those showers of blessing. Lord, we need the truth of them in our hearts, and we would rejoice, Lord, to see thy work appear and to be carried on. And we thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast been pleased to do. And we pray, desiring to lay hold upon the word, thou shalt see greater things than these. Remember the afflicted and our friend in her great age and her bereavement of her brother, and we pray for her. Seeking, Lord, that thou visit her with thy salvation. May it sweetly be known, Lord, if our poor prayer might be accepted, that it may be said this day, is salvation come to this house? And we pray, Lord, that those who never seek us, they seem to be often on our hearts, but Lord, remember them. May they be sweetly encouraged. Remember the heavy laden, Lord, that feel that they are the worst. And yet there is a blessing in it. Yes, the very worst of sinners. On Jesus' grace rely, shall of endless bliss be with us, and shall live above the sky. Lord, we do see that thou wilt remember the churches lest they die. And oh, that thou wilt come, Lord, and be with those that would seek the glory of God and the sweet help of the Lord in many, many things. And we desire nothing but the blessing of God and the sweet truth of it to be made to thy glory and praise and the salvation of sinners. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come this evening. And grant, O Lord, that there may be that appearing of the Lord, his word and truth, that we may be able to know thy presence. Lord, where Jesus draws near, then hearts soon burn together. We pray for that blessing. And grant that Jesus may sweetly be known, formed in our heart the hope of glory and drawing near and going with them. We pray for the deacons that thou wilt be with them, Lord, and grant help of God. And we thank thee, Lord, for the wonderful mercies thou hast bestowed and thy healing beyond all expectations. And they still touch our hearts. Lord, how great thou art. And we pray that thou bless the dear children, and little ones too. There may be, Lord, that blessing of God, and there may be a seed to serve thee. We would be mindful of those, Lord, that are persecuted, and we are not to know who are thine, but for those that are persecuted for the name of Christianity, we feel it right and would pray for those, seeking, Lord, that thou bear them up and that thou bless them indeed and give help of God in such terrible things, Lord, that we hardly can know. But, Lord, do remember us. Our prayers would be right, but we would seek to pray for others too. And we ask, Lord, that thou hear us now as we desire to seek, Lord, that thou would not leave us to just pass the time or speak words. Or may there be some application or some following on. But Lord, thou knowest all things. May we be in thy hand. And may it please thee, Lord, to grant us that help of God that we read in thy word, to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we do seek, Lord, that thou guide and direct us continually. We do pray, Lord, that thou be our sufficiency and that thou, Lord, wilt hold us up and hold us on and grant us now, Lord, one of those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Or may we know it is the Lord and say, let him do what he thinks best. We ask, Lord, that thou come now and exceed our poor petitions. Oh, but it needeth not great swelling words. We need that breathing of God into our hearts and the answers of peace. And do forgive our many sins and our unworthiness. And come, Lord, over the mountains and forgive all sin and guilt. May the Lord apply his precious blood. May we sweetly feel it within. Exceed our poor prayers. We ask every mercy, every favour, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see thou hast little cause to grieve. 273.
much dependence upon the help of God. I do trust I will direct your prayerful attention to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. Our text is in verse 12, but we will read again verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And just into verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. These words seem to settle on my mind in verse 12, especially from the nevertheless, in the word nevertheless, I am not ashamed. That's what really has directed my thoughts, I hope, of God as we seek to come among you. It is right for me to just mention the way that my mind has been led. I thought of these words, and then this afternoon I was reading in the Perception magazine of that godly account, gracious account of that martyr. Some of you may have read that account, that man of God that died at the stake. And as I read that account, friends, it touched my heart. And my thoughts went to our text without realising the truth, because I sought the Lord to direct me, as we must, if the text is laid upon our mind. And this is how it opened up. Friends, we do need that same blessed grace and the Spirit of the Lord. For there are things in the Word here that may be hard to understand. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. So I direct you to my thought that this it is that work of God himself with such power and authority in the heart of the dear man of God, Paul, as he was speaking in his very last days to Timothy. It was as if he would bring before him the great truths that he had walked in and sought that he might continue in them by the grace of God. Oh, how he spoke of those things that he had walked in and knew from sweet experience. The blessing of God attending his labours and walking in so many, many things that he might be able to speak these words, nevertheless I am not ashamed. As it is not some light and easy matter, it is that fruit that was on the branch, we might say, as he walked out, the things that God had appointed in his sovereignty. And he knew the power in his soul. And nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed of my God. I'm not ashamed of all those things. Neither does the Lord put me to shame. I believe that is how the dear man feels and how he seeks to encourage, and certainly faithfully direct his son Timothy in the faith. Of course, it's part of the Holy Writ, isn't it? The Holy Word of God for the churches. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. We read in the words in other places of the word ashamed. Some places we believe are very much preached from, and a very sweet hymn about it, isn't there? That beautiful word. I wonder if there are those exercise friends in the ways of God as we come among you, in the things that God has let down in their hearts, made known by the blessed Spirit of truth, that have come seeking for a word from the Lord, something that may be a true token. The dear man speaks here to Timothy, and it's a good word to those that, by God's rich grace, seek to follow on to know the Lord. Be not thou, therefore, he says, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Very clearly, he was bound with a chain for the truth's sake, but friends, he was not ashamed of it. He was not ashamed of his God. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The word it is, but you know, it does need the preparation of the heart in man, doesn't it, which is of the Lord. It does need the Lord to begin to touch hearts, as we often think of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. Sometimes, by due degrees, he makes the heart soft. Or he leads and teaches. None teaches like him. And friends, I believe that there is a singular power that alone can touch sinners' hearts and bring them to seek the Lord and to need the Lord, to ask the Lord for a word from the Lord. Well, the Lord grant this word may be a good word. I mean in the heart, to the souls, the testimony which God will give will have that savour of life in it. Not without repentance, godly sorrow, brokenness of spirit, and a sense of utter helplessness and need for the Lord to appear. I am not ashamed. There are many things we do need to be ashamed of, and that is our own wretchedness, a wretched man, the dear man said, didn't he? We need to be ashamed of self in this respect, that our sins are very great, especially before the Lord. But the word here is spoken, isn't it, as grace has touched the dear man's heart and life, and his ready to depart. Nevertheless, Timothy, he says, I am not ashamed. Friends, that is great grace, isn't it? I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. A great matter that is. Oh, it is the gift of faith, isn't it, that will always put the crown on his head. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Friends, it seems to me to speak of the lifting up of the Lord Jesus in a poor seeking heart, or a heart that would see Jesus. Friends, the Lord is lifted up, isn't he? In the desire, in the heart. And certainly we need him lifting up in the ministry. We need the Lord lifted up in our hearts, friends, above our sin and guilt, and our unworthiness and our fears. I am not ashamed now. Really, it speaks of that sweet truth of God himself in the fullness of his grace, bearing him up and granting that fruit to the glory of God. And it is a sweet witness. And there's much instruction in it. Friends, maybe not deviate from it. The things that Apostle walked out were the things that God brings into the hearts of poor sinners that are saved by grace. Of course, he was an eminent servant of God. But the Lord teaches all the same. All are taught sin's demerit, and all are brought to that one foundation, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. Of him, poor sinners are not ashamed, just as much as grace is given. And as much as the Lord has granted regeneration and the blessing of God, so that he is precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Oh, it is a word that needs to be spoken in very clear terms in the spirit of the gospel. Friends, it is that, if I may say, that the riches of Christ, but it's in the veil of tears. It is the sweet help of God, although the way it is rough and rugged to those that truly know the Lord. The way here is humbling. The dear man speaks a catalogue of things he walked through, but friends, brought safely through. And now he says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. It's not the apostle, is it? But his God. I know whom I have believed. Oh, he is sweetly brought to believe or to anchor and to have no other hope than Jesus, and he gloried in his cross. That was the burden of his heart in writing in the early days of the early church, for this great truth to be the one foundation, Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's so many voices, so many wanted to turn this way and back into Judaism. And friends, he was very steadfast. He knew by God's grace that foundation of God in his heart. There is therefore now no condemnation through Christ and his cross to them that believe, and it's all by free and sovereign grace. And it seems to spring up, doesn't it, in his heart, as he speaks to his dear son in the faith. He speaks in the second chapter, my son, be strong, not in self, but in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Why, friends, that teaching, it really is that preaching, in the way of instruction, leading, always directing those characters called by grace to Jesus and his word, and a special testimony to cleave unto him. I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. Why, it is he, isn't it, that he trusted upon. That's the meaning of it. But it's not some carnal trust, friends. It's leaning upon the beloved. It is having all in Christ and nothing in self. It is hoping only in God, as we often think of that psalm, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I have believed, and that is, friends, it's by grace, isn't it? Those that know the Lord, they know their hearts, they can't believe. Could I but believe? But you know, something I maintain, friends, when the Lord grants regenerating grace as a seed of faith, very small, and it's God that prospers it. Our hearts doesn't prosper it. Man doesn't prosper it. God does. It's like a seed sown that bears root downward and bears fruit upward. The Lord speaks of it, O thou of little faith. And we cannot often see our faith and yet believe. Well, the apostle speaks of it, friends, here in a special way. He is able. Well, those words are very precious, but I want to notice here, and am persuaded. And these things are very much reduced and taken from their strict, proper meaning. And persuaded. It is not the persuasion of man at all. It really is in the same roots, if I may say, of the meaning, where the word speaks of, I think it's the apostle, I am persuaded of Jesus Christ, he says. And that's the same root of it, friends. And persuaded, it is what God has laid in the heart and what bears fruit. Not only that, but it's what changes lives. And friends, it spreads in the house, as it were, like the odour of the ointment. It increases, regulates. It turns our feet to Zion's hill. And it turns us to the vital essence of it. It's Christ only. Living faith proves well, doesn't it, of the sufficiency of Christ. The poor, needy sinners, well might we say, Lord, increase our faith. The apostle speaks of it. I turned it down in Galatians, for do I now persuade men or God? Well, it means this, doesn't it? Do I now speak to men or God? It's not something, it's a different meaning in many respects than is loosely spoken of today. It's something deep and that affects the heart, the soul, the life, the desire of man. so that it abides. Only as much as God is pleased to grant that grace, without it we soon go back. This persuasion we read in the Word of something in the opposite. This persuasion is not of him that calleth you. That is a prohibition, isn't it? It might be near to our old heart. Things that our heart go out after, or even put God's name to, that we have to speak of this persuasion, which, friends, has got the power and authority of God in it, just as the apostle speaks here in the truth as he has come almost to the end of his journey, and speaks so much of Christ Jesus and what he sees and knows in him and glories in too, and am persuaded. And really it's something that belongs to the way in which God directs his people. And persuaded, it speaks of that prompting and guiding and direction in the way that God is pleased to lead and guide and direct, and am persuaded. Very precious word, friends, if the Lord has ever in our hearts brought us among his people. It can be said it's how they declare themselves to be the chief of sinners, the most unworthy, and how they declare that he must be all in all. I am persuaded. It reaches deep. And if I may say, the Lord is in it. I am persuaded. Do you know, I've walked in things, friends, and thought that the Lord was in this and that, and I've had to learn his way to be different. But you know, his way is always best. And it's walking it out, isn't it? I am persuaded. It's a word that speaks of the leading and direction of God, and light upon the way, and the application of that truth of God meeting the poor sinner, the Lord's people, in a particular way, so that they're moved. None of these things move me, we read, but you know, the Lord moves his people. But I want to speak rightly about it. Oh, it does need, friends, a right heart and a good spirit, and it needs the Lord to grant to us understanding to walk in something that is contrary, and to still seek to persuade and work on the minds and hearts of others is totally false, and we need to be kept from it. But I am persuaded. You know, that's what the Lord does in all the hearts of his dear people. It is grace. It is that which, would to God we might know more of it, it increases and directs to Jesus and his precious blood. Until the soul is sweetly blessed of his God and he's persuaded. It is delivered and directed. You know, we do need the Lord to lead and direct us in the way that is spoken of here as a persuasion which may not have the word of the Lord directly concerning it, but a moving of the heart so clearly, seeking the Lord to speak, but still being persuaded in a sacred way. Let's be careful, in a way that the Lord has seen fit. Where to move the heart and to grant that spirit to seek the Lord. And I've walked in some things, and you know the Lord grants a persuasion, then it needs the Lord to fulfill it, or to overturn it if it's not of Him. It needs proving. When I came to Fen Stanton, an exercise in my heart, and I had to go into the hospital, and my burden was great, and I thought to leave all thoughts of the pastorate, if the Lord should take me as a very great affliction. But it was proved to be innocuous, very great matter. But friends, the Lord had me walk in it to know what was His will, and I was persuaded I had to be as nothing, like clay, and until the Lord prospered what was His. And I don't know why I just speak about it. But we do need to be careful of what just comes into our mind and heart. But we need to be careful to seek the mind, the will of the Lord. I am persuaded. Well, it needs God to be the author of it. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now, I was speaking about that character, I think his name is John Bradford. Now, I want to just speak something else that seemed to confirm my mind in the text. The man was most sweetly favoured of God in prospect of being burnt to death. And this is how it seemed to confirm my mind. Friends, he was persuaded that all was well if the Lord be with him, and he had a very solemn dream, tried his heart so. I don't want to be too long here, of course, but it's come to my mind how the man was prepared for that sentence of death, how his mind and heart was sweetly brought to see the Lord's will and purpose concerning him, and persuade that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And of course I must pass on, but it seemed to confirm my mind in it. And there was something very precious in it, how the dear man was brought to embrace something. And we have it in the word here. It was that chain which should bind him to the stake. And he was made aware that it was being made and brought to the prison. And friends, how the Lord sustained the man. He wasn't ashamed of the chain, because that's real godliness, isn't it? The dear man was brought to embrace the will of God concerning him. He wasn't ashamed, although the man was a man. But I must just hasten on. The Lord grant us that help to know and to do His will, for I have and persuade that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. There are those things that God is pleased to grant to his people in the prospect of that glorious day. Those things that are committed unto him. The Lord grants that grace in the heart. I was speaking to somebody very recently and speaking of how the Lord seemed to take the mind and the heart from earthly things. They seemed to have such little part as once they did. Dear character. And friends, so it is. As the Lord grants us grace, we do well to remember that word, to number our days, how few they are. Now there's a friend that once said to me that they reached almost the year, a number of years when their father, and I thought about it like this. Friends, if we should number our days in the light and consideration, the fewness of them, as we may remember those loved ones, it would sober our mind. But it needs God's blessing, doesn't it? How few there may be. Friends, what need we have to be kept from those things which so vain and empty. We need hearts, friends, to be brought to know a little of what the Apostle speaks here and the prospects, the Lord's will. There's one thing very clear he knew. There was a day fixed when that the Lord would come, take him, and he makes ready, especially in the church of God. It's as if he wanted things to be right, especially with his son Timothy in the faith and all that God had appointed for him to follow in. It's as if he gave by the blessing of God, and the Lord surely was in it. We have the sweet testimony and the truth of it, how he laid these things so soberly, so graciously, and needful. In a day of superfluity, in a day when the things of this life are so many, and we need the Lord to keep us. The spirit of man is this. We'll certainly have a few more years yet. Thou fool, the word says. Thou knowest not when the Son of Man cometh, the thief in the night. When the apostle was writing in the Acts of the Apostles, there were those things that were very much in his heart. So I just think of them. Where he wrote to the Ephesian church, of those things he perceived that were coming unto the churches. And the dear man, he spoke so fervently of the need to hold fast. It's as if he spoke of things that were coming by Satan. And he speaks unto them in a very sober and gracious way, that We should look well to it. And friend, Satan is the same, isn't he? And oh, how we do need that spirit of diligence, watchfulness. Do not feel directed to speak over much concerning those things, but it gives me the thought here that he writes to Timothy in a way of commission. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, a little leaven leaveneth soon, doesn't it? The whole lump. Can't take it out. Friend, soon the whole loaf is leavened and it rises, doesn't it, with just a little leaven. We need the Lord to keep us personally. But the Lord indeed bless the churches with that sacred sound of the gospel, the trumpet, sound of the gospel. And the truth of it concerning this day, maybe a day I think if I discern there are in the hearts of those that seek the Lord a great fear that there are many things coming even upon our land. The Lord preserve us indeed. The Lord grant that spirit of grace and help to hold fast and to continue in the spirit of the gospel. When it's brought to the test, friends, how will it be? We need the truth in our text. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then also those things which can be spoken of. There is a time when the Lord permits his people to be tempted in that day. And friends, I think I know just a little something of temptation. Oh, it's very great, isn't it? Those that know the Lord will know the tempter. The Lord hold them up. If there are any in the sieve this evening, and so that the Lord is above it, he can rebuke the adversary. And sometimes that the Lord works by the sieve, and friends, all things work together for good until we are bettered by the cross. Things that the Lord permits are all in his hand. Faith is no worse for the furnace, is it? Or it may be the Lord's appointment a day when he'll greatly try those that seem to feel the ground to be good and have walked sweetly at large. Friends, it might be a day the Lord has appointed. Try your heart exceedingly. Do you wonder if the Lord has ever begun in your poor heart or ever can bring you through? Maybe a loss that fills your heart so deeply, or a cross to carry, something you look not for. Oh, for that help to say, I know whom I have believed. He is able. Well, friends, that's the spirit, isn't it, of the text. God is able. We need it. He is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all we can ask or think, not to be presumed upon. But it is a sweet word, isn't it? Maybe an encouragement. He is able. be as Abel that promised, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. The Lord grant in that day the needful help of God, whatever it may be. You know, the Lord help us, friends, to hold fast. That's what we read here, hold fast. Not do anything less. It's not so easy, is it? Hold fast the form of sound words. Well, they're Christ's words, aren't they? That the promises. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And there's a character I often refer to in Psalm 46. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, it's a good word, isn't it? Are there those things that are committed unto the Lord? We do desire to speak rightly about it, friends. It seems to me that which is for his disposing is that for which the Lord is glorified, not ourselves. That which is according to the sweet will of the Lord, that which God may prosper. And we need that sweet spirit of faith and grace to fall at his feet. Are those things committed unto him in the day of trouble? Lord, do thou appear. Lord, do grant those answers of peace. Maybe that desire for his healing touch, the Lord grant it. Many sweet answers the Lord has granted. May the Lord grant thee. You know, it's a wonderful thing to get some answers. Able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And there are loved ones, aren't there? Family. Dear ones, so dear to us. What if God should put his finger? Friends, may the Lord grant us grace ever to consider him, that endured. But then, it is a good word because it speaks here of that day. It was a day appointed, friends, when God will arise. All those that are truly burdened, afflicted by sin, brought by God to sweet repentance, they'll know a day of the Lord's appearing. When the Lord is pleased to bind up his dear people. It just comes to my mind, and I must leave it. In the word of the Lord. Oh, it's a mercy that the Lord rides above the flood. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. The Lord grants it. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, not an arm of flesh. And my song, he also is become my salvation. Dear Jacob said in the book of Genesis, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Well, there's a day when the Lord will bind up his people, pour in the oil and the wine, and grant the sweet comfort of the Holy Ghost. The day when the Lord will appear. But you know it does need true grace and that heart to feel their sin and unworthiness and to plead that worthy name that he is able. Let's leave a few things for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words. Amen.
Pickett is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pack, God willing, on Good Friday morning. Let us close with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, but would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed that pants to reach thy promised rest. 1070.
O Lord, do forgive all that thy holy eyes must surely have seen amiss. And do grant the help of God as we venture on. And remember us, Lord, for good. Remember any unable to be here this evening. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each. Amen.